بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن القاسم بن محمد قال قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها ورأساه، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بل أنا ورأساه، وذكر الحديث رواه البخاري. The narrator of this hadith is a tabi'i, that is the generation after the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as Abu Muhammad Qasim ibn Muhammad. This is the grandson of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the son of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. His mother was a slave girl, Sauda radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He was extremely young when his father passed away. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was his aunt, she took care of him. He also, besides learning from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he also acquired knowledge from Abdullah bin Abbas, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and other sahaba. He is counted amongst what we call fuqaha as-sab'ah, that is the seven scholars of Medina Munawwara. He conducted dars in Masjid An-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ayyub says about him, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَفْضَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ مِنَ الثَّالِثَةِ. I haven't seen anyone more virtuous than him. And he is counted amongst the three, that is Kibaru Tabi'een, the three main Tabi'een, the generation after the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passed away at the age of 70 or 72 in the year 107 or 108 Hijrah. He narrates that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once was extremely unwell and she was experiencing severe pain in her head. So in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as sometimes a person who is very, very sick places their hand over that part of the body where they are experiencing extreme pain or difficulty, and the person groans and says that I am experiencing great pain. For example, the word in Arabic for the head is what we call ra's. So she said, wa ra'asahu. This is an expression, how my head is paining, or what severe pain I am experiencing in my head. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions this incident under the chapter just to refresh or remind ourselves the permissibility for a sick person to complain that I am sick, or I am experiencing great pain, or I am going through fever. In other words, this issue that sickness is from Allah Ta'ala, and it is a means particularly for a believer of expiation of sins, the forgiveness of sins. In fact, if we look deeper into it, if our conduct is correct, it is in fact a mercy from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the issue now arises, is a sick person allowed to complain, or is he allowed to say things that appear as if he may be complaining? Sometimes a person feels, when you visit a sick person, you ask him, by how are you feeling? He feels it is khilaf a shariat, it's against shariat for him to say that this is paining or that is paining, or I am sick, or I am going through fever, etc. We learn that under certain conditions, not only does the shariat allow you to mention what is paining, or for you to groan in pain, or for you to express that pain, not only does the shariat allow it, but it is part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, provided we are not complaining, etc. So we see in this incident, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala placed a hand on her head, wa ra'asahu, how greatly my head is paining, how painful it is. She did this in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time himself, he said, bal ana wa ra'sahu. Aisha, my head also is paining greatly. And he also said the same expression, وَرَأْسَاهُ. So in other words, this will be totally permissible. In fact, there are certain laws or regulations with regards to a sick person expressing pain, which the ulama have mentioned. One, it is permissible as long as a person is not complaining. Complaining, in other words, complaining against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be prohibited to express displeasure in Allah ta'ala's decision. Was I the only person that had to go through this? Couldn't, na'uz billah, Allah ta'ala find somebody else? Sometimes a person in extreme distress, without realizing it, we make these statements of kufr. So this is completely prohibited for a person to say things like that. If a person has to groan in pain or complain out of bare sabri, in other words, lack of patience, this also will not be permissible. However, sometimes human nature is such, when you groan or you complain or you mention the pain you are experiencing psychologically, this to a certain extent brings some level of comfort to the sick person. In that instance, it will be permissible if it is to bring comfort. Sometimes it is in fact not only permissible but encouraged that a person, I'm going through so much of pain, I'm so hurt, this is really hurting me, or he expresses a level of difficulty that he is going through, but the intention is what? To humble himself before Allah Ta'ala and show his ajizi and his weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if that is the intention, not only will it be permissible, but it will be mustahab. A person will get reward if he is making inkisari, humbling and lowering himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going through this dard, this pain. Ya Allah, you are the only one who gives cure. Ya Allah, you alleviate this pain and suffering through which I am going through. So at that time, to express that pain and suffering, to exhibit his ajizi, his weakness, his inkisari, his dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be completely permissible. In fact, there's one riwayat of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that if a person makes shukr to Allah ta'ala, subhanallah, or he expresses anything like that, and thereafter mentions any hardship or difficulty he is going through, because he made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, initially it will not be a form of complaint before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, that brings us to the end of that chapter. The next chapter, Babu Talqeen al Muhtadar La Ilaha Illallah. We find that, we'll notice from the last few chapters, Imam Nawawi Rahimullah is focused on the illness prior to the demise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In many instances, this is Allah's plan that a person experiences illness and thereafter he passes away from this world. So when a person is extremely sick, it's possible that his demise can occur. And sometimes we notice this, elderly relative or family member was after an accident, or somebody is in hospital for a protracted period of time. If to put it crudely, the end is drawing near. And it is the desire of every mu'min, every believer, to die with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to die on iman. This is something we have to make dua to. Dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gives us a good maut, good ending. Particularly, although it's not conditional, a sign of a good maut and ending is when a person recites La ilaha illallah, recites the kalima before passing away. So, there is one term in Arabic which they call talqeen. In other words, when a person is in sakarat at the last stages of their life, there will be relatives, friends, etc. around that person. Now, this is a time when obviously everyone has the desire that this person must recite kalima and then pass away. So what should you do? Tell him to read kalima, recite the kalima in front of him, etc. This is what we call in Arabic, like I said, talqeen. So we find Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings this chapter dealing with this issue. When Mu'azin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhla al-jannah, rawahu Abu Dawud wal Hakim wa qala sahih al-asnad. Mu'azin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person whose last words are la ilaha illallah دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, he will definitely enter into Jannah. This issue of دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, person saying kalima and definitely entering Jannah, very often you have this question, what happens if you sharabi, kababi, did a lot of wrong, usurped other people's rights, does it mean all that gets wiped away? If Allah wants to forgive, it's very, very easy. One second Allah can forgive him. But does the hadith mean that? That he will just, everything will be forgiven, guaranteed? No, there's no guarantees. But what it means, eventually he will enter into Jannah. Or it is a positive and a good sign. Or if Allah Ta'ala wants, Allah Ta'ala may forgive this person. This we have discussed many times before this. But definitely, to recite kalima before passing away, this is a great honor, a great blessing from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And as I mentioned, it's something that all of us should desire. Allah Ta'ala has appointed malaika that are protecting a person when he is alive also, and when the time for his mort and death comes. Allah Ta'ala, many verses in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions this, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتْ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, that for each one of you are successive angels, one after the other, they follow one after another, protecting you and I. Allah Ta'ala has appointed angels, يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, they are guarding him by the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whilst you are alive, and at the time of mort also. At the time of mort, what does Quran tell us? حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. Then this continues, this protection from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, from the elements, from the enemies, from things that are around us, will continue until the time of mort. Then تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا, the angel that has been appointed to extract the ruh and the soul, will carry out the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We find in riwayat, some angels, if the person was a believer, a person of iman, a person who had pleased Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they will come down, ma'ahum kafan, they will carry the shroud from Jannah, hanut, the burial perfume from Jannah, if he was from amongst the believers. And if he was a kafir, a disbeliever, may Allah Ta'ala protect us, such a person, the angels also will come down, but obviously they will have with them the shroud of Jahannam, and they would have with them the boiling coals of Jahannam, etc. And obviously the person will go through what we call buri maut, a terrible death. In other words, the azab of akhirat will start at the time of death. So coming back to the hadith, Mu'az bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, man kana, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. This hadith and the one after it, the meaning is linked. So inshallah, obviously we've run out of time. We'll continue the discussion. SubhanAllah.